Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cubs win.
Gordon Wittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs.
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Wittenmeyer.
Morning, Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. Zach Zaman in for Mully today. We head out to Arizona to check in with Gordon Wittenmeyer from the Sun-Times. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
It's early. A lot of anticipation out there. What would you expect to hear from Tom Ricketts today, and why has it taken him this long to publicly speak about his father's racist emails?
Well, to answer the second one first, I suspect that has to do with the timing. He came out with a statement immediately. He met with the Muslim group in town right afterwards, immediately afterwards. And then this is the first time he'll be with the team since then. He was scheduled to meet with the media anyway. So my guess is that they just decided, well, he'll get asked about it at this point regardless. So, you know, make that the time when he answers questions. And what do I expect to hear? Similar to the statement, and I don't know if it would be stronger because Theo's language was so much stronger when camp opened. He may follow that lead to some extent. But I would imagine that this will be heavier on trying to distance the team and what the team represents from his father, and try to point out that his father is not involved in the daily operations of the team, nor maybe even the broader character of the team, something along those lines. That would only be a partial truth.
Yeah, it's a complicated day because you have to address the Joe Ricketts emails, the Addison Russell situation, the new network, and then there's the baseball part of it, from the baseball side of things.
The what part?
Exactly. But Gordon, from the base, there are a lot of questions about the actual baseball. What are the biggest things from the baseball part of it that you need to hear from Tom Ricketts?
Well, the baseball side of it from ownership is, where the hell's the money? I mean, I thought this was going to be a team that competed at the top of the food chain when it came to revenues, especially after we saw all the increased revenues with the winning, all the price hikes involved with the winning, the TV deal on the horizon. And I know their payroll is high. I know it's always among the highest. Their revenues have always been among the highest, but they were going to supercharge that. They were going to be a mammoth. They were going to be the Yankees of the Midwest. So what happens when your offense breaks, as Theo said, in the second half last year, when you clearly have young players that could go either way and a need where a marquee free agent who's out there and available, and by the way, still is, could fix what broke. And you don't even allow your team to be in play for that. And on top of that, there's another layer to a player like Bryce Harper if you were to go get him. People want to say, well, 10 years is crazy money. Go get somebody else. You're in a narrow window of opportunity here to win. And you've got a TV deal coming. This guy is incredibly marketable. He's a national figure. And if you could lock him up for X number of years, you don't think that's going to have an influence on some of your broadcast partners or some of the people that might balk at some of the carriage fees? This could be a great investment on a number of levels.
Joined by Gordon,
doing it.
Gordon Wittenmeyer from the Sun-Times out in Arizona covering the Cubs. Gordon, you were in the room on Friday when Addison Russell held his news conference and spoke about his suspension for domestic abuse. If we're at the bottom of the second before the press conference, as Theo Epstein alluded to in terms of the progress that Addison has made in his recovery. Where are we now after the press conference?
Well, I think in the terms of the what the Cubs might be thinking, probably it's probably a leap all the way toward the sixth inning, because in their minds, I think this first public appearance by him was maybe the greatest benchmark. I mean, really, it's potentially the only benchmark you could have to measure whether he's checking the so-called boxes before you make a decision on whether to cut him before the season or not. What else is there in terms of addressing this issue, unless there's a relapse? So as far as any positive steps forward for him in their thinking on what their decision's going to be, that was the big one. And as far as what I saw, I mean, I saw the same thing you guys did. There wasn't any emotion there. It was all prepared. He had three or four stock answers to every question and tried to shoehorn those answers into whatever question he got. It didn't matter what the question was. There were attempts to be very specific with him, and he completely went the other way on that. I thought the one thing he could have done, because he's not going to win that press conference. There's no winning a press conference like that. It's horrible and negative all the way around, no matter what. And many people feel that the fact that he's even in a Cubs uniform for spring training, given a press conference like that, is the wrong thing. And I don't disagree with that. But the one thing he could have done that I did not hear was when he was asked about some of the specifics, and not going into details wasn't going to help him. But how do you not understand that part of the step forward in this, the only thing you can do to suggest that you've made any change in your thinking at all, is to at least surrender the power of the facts to her. At least pull yourself out of it completely in terms of having any ground at all to stand on. And if somebody's asking, was what she wrote true? Were you physical with her? And then some of the other specific questions that came, at least acknowledge that you're not going to deny any of that, that you stand by her facts, her truth. And I didn't see anything close to that.
Gordon, Zach and I have both been in those situations, as you have. After the press conference, you look back and you think, okay, I wish I would have asked him this. In retrospect, was there anything not asked, whether it's you or somebody else, of Addison Russell that you wish would have been?
There were some questions that might have been asked a little differently to try to evoke an answer that got off script. But I don't, and many of us have talked about it after the fact. Well, what could we have done to get him off that script? Mm-hmm. Was there a way to ask some of those questions? And I don't think there was, because I thought our columnist, Rick Morrissey, I thought he did a pretty good job of asking some just basic factual things that were kind of off the path of did you or didn't you, are you sorry, aren't you sorry, you know, asking him if he's in another relationship, how that relationship's going, asking him, and somebody else asked him what his relationship is like with his ex-wife now, things like that might at least allow him a half step off the script, and he really didn't do a good job of going anywhere with that. So I don't think that there were other questions or ways of asking them. It wasn't going to change that script. Now, I know some of the criticism out there that I've been hearing or reading about involves, well, why didn't you ask him about the child support from the previous mother of his child? And because that's a cul-de-sac off of a different road. I mean, that's not relevant to this case. MLB didn't investigate that. As despicable as that might be, that's a far lower priority than the physical abuse and the charges that were levied by his ex-wife and investigated by MLB. That was the point of that press conference. And to go in other directions would be almost distractions from that point. And that's not to say that in a larger sense, at some point, or if this thing grows, that doesn't become part of it. But in this case, I don't think that was part of it. Hello?
Yeah, Gordon, I want to veer in a different direction here because ultimately, getting back to the Bryce Harper point that you were making, which was very compelling, I start thinking to myself, yes, the Cubs have their own network coming up. This is a guy who is made for TV. And then he's still available right now. And I look around Major League Baseball and I see the Dodgers, the Astros, the Yankees, the Mets, the Twins, the Blue Jays, just a few of the teams out there that have their own networks, kind of similar to what the Cubs are going to be starting next season. Why is Bryce Harper still on the market?
Well, do you believe in collusion? Do you believe in algorithms? I don't know if you saw what Brad Brock said the other day about his free agency experience. And then I think it was echoed by Mark Reynolds maybe a day or two later.
About all the offers being alike?
All the offers are the same, and they all come in at the same time.
Yep.
That's on its face from a distance without knowing anything more than that. Boy, that sure looks like collusion. Now, Brock said that he asked teams about that, and they said, well, we've got an algorithm, and here's where you fall on the scale. But his point, which I think is a valid one, well, you would think that different teams would have different algorithms. So what's going on? Why is the timing the same? What are teams waiting for? And I don't know all the facts on this. The first question that arises in my mind is, does it coincide with any sort of baseball financial calendar? You know, when money's due or when financial years begin or end, when money counts against your luxury tax level. I mean, I'd have to dive into all that to see if there's some key dates that might align with when some of these offers are coming in. But it's a mess. It's a mess. And from budgetary standpoints, ownership standpoints, and now it seems baseball operations leadership standpoints, you're seeing these players treated almost like interchangeable widgets or something. This guy's got this skill set and whatever. And you're forgetting that some of these guys are faces of the teams, potential faces of the game. There's two elements that you're leaving out of this. One is that players are not just labor like another industry. They are the game. And so if revenues are up, their salaries should go up commensurate to that. If the owners should not be gaining a disproportionate increase. The other side of it is the fans. Can you imagine if Javi Baez, Francisco Lindor get down the road here toward free agency and all of a sudden they're year-to-year players and they're bouncing all over the place and eventually, you know, somebody's algorithm says that Javi's lost a step, so he's going to get a discount or a cut off the last year and his offers are going to come in January and maybe even February. Those are the two of the most popular players in the game. They're the next generation. They're the faces that are going to bring the next generation into the game and are actually doing a pretty good job of that right now. And I think Bryce Harper's one of those types of players. And for you not to acknowledge that within the framework of your sort of, I guess, employment structure, is really hurting yourself. And I think that's what baseball is doing, and I think it's taking them in a pretty destructive place here in the next few years if they don't rectify it right away.
Good stuff, Gordon. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Gordon Whitmire covers the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. Look forward to his story later on suntimes.com on Tom Ricketts' address to the media later this morning. When we come back on Mullen Haw here with Zach Zabin in for Mullen, we'll talk to Megan Malwicki from CBS Chicago. She was there Friday as well, and she asked a couple interesting questions, and her perspective is worth hearing. Mullen Haw with Zach Zabin in for Mullen, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.